Thank you for this opportunity to be up here and bring you a message from God's Word. Now, they say that a preacher is supposed to be constantly improving, constantly growing and becoming better. So, since this is the first time I'm up here, I can say with confidence, hopefully this is the worst sermon you ever hear from me. I ask if you'd please open your Bibles to Psalm 115. We're going to look at the first four verses. Psalm 115 may have been written during the time when the Israelites were returning from their exile from Babylon. During this time, they faced a lot of persecution from the nations around them. Their enemies took every step to prevent the rebuilding of God's temple and the restoration of Jerusalem. The fear of the Lord that had seized the Canaanites when the Israelites first entered the Promised Land was gone, and nothing but contempt and hatred for the God of Israel was left. Thinking of all that was going on in the world at the time, the psalmist prayed the following prayer: "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. The nations around did not believe or revere the God of Israel. Rather, they mocked him, saying, 'Where is their God?' Seeing the abuse that was being heaped on God's name, the psalmist prays that God would give glory to himself in the world, that he would reveal his awesome power to the nations around. He prayed that they should see the worthlessness of their own idols and the all-surpassing worth of the one true God. In a time when God's glory was being threatened on all sides, the psalmist prays that God would restore his glory among the nations. Our world today is not all that different from the world of the psalmist. There is no fear of God. In the world, there's nothing but contempt and apathy towards God. People seek every opportunity to slander God. It's so important for us, too, to be praying that God would give himself glory in our world today. And yet notice that in the prayer, the psalmist says twice, not to us be the glory. Why is this? Because we have a role in this too. God doesn't just magically give himself glory. He could, but he chooses to work through us. He chooses to use what we say and do and think to give him glory in the world. It's not enough for us just to be praying that God would give himself glory. We need to seek to live in such a way that God can work through us to give himself the glory and answer our prayers. But what can we do to glorify God? How can we live in such a way that God gets glory? Scripture seeks to answer this question for us. First, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. The first thing that we need to do is realize the importance of glorifying God in our lives. Obviously, it is important, but how important? Ephesians 1 answers this for us. Let's read verses 11 and 12. And these verses are in the context of Paul praising God for everything that God has done for us in accomplishing salvation. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. Paul says that glorifying God is our very purpose for being chosen by God for salvation. In him, we were also chosen in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. As much as it might be a pleasant thought, we were not chosen for our happiness. God didn't choose us so that we could live a happy, nice life. He chose us for his glory. God doesn't exist for us. We exist for God. Amen. That's very significant. Once we have been saved by the blood of Christ, our purpose, our very reason for being here, is to give God glory. If we're not seeking to glorify God, not only are we disobeying his commands, but we're failing to fulfill our very purpose. Now, it's not that by not living to God's glory, we will reduce his glory. We cannot reduce the gloriousness of God. C.S. Lewis said, "A man can no more diminish God's glory by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of his cell." However, the world can only realize and recognize God's glory if we are bringing it to them. While we can't reduce God's glory, we can work to help others recognize his glory. Let's go to Philippians 1, 9 through 11. This is Paul speaking to the Philippian church. He says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Paul prays that the Philippians would grow in their knowledge of the truth so that they could grow spiritually and bear the fruit of righteousness, and this is all verse 11, to the praise and glory of God. Now, if Paul is praying that this would occur in the Philippians' lives, that they would produce fruit to the glory of God, we can be sure that it is God's will for them and for us to bear fruit to his glory. We can be sure that it is God's will that we glorify him, bringing him honor and praise to his name. Once again, it is our purpose. So first, we must recognize the importance of giving glory to God. Giving glory to God is one of the most important things that we can do. It's why we were chosen in Christ Jesus. It's God's will for us and our purpose. Once we realize how important it is that we bring glory to God, we must ask, how can we glorify God? Before looking at specific behaviors with which we can ascribe glory to God, there is a prerequisite to it all. In order to be able to give glory to God, we must die to self. This really is a prerequisite. If we are at the center of our lives, if we are living for ourselves, we cannot glorify God. What does it mean to die to self? Dying to self means putting off our old self and its interests, pursuits, and desires, and putting on the new self and taking up God's will, God's interests. If we are at the center of our lives, if we're living for ourselves, we cannot glorify God. Now, to die to self is to stop seeking our own glory and to seek God's glory at all costs. If we are not having God as the center of our lives, if we are the center of our lives, then seeking God's glory, it's not a priority. That's why we can never give God glory if we don't die to self. As long as our happiness, our glory, is at the center of our lives, then there's no room for seeking God and his glory. If you remember the psalmist's words in Psalm 115, verse 1, he said very clearly, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory." Too often we pray for things that will glorify us. "Oh God, please help me to nail this interview. Please help me to pass this test. Please help me to really impress all my guests. Please help me to. Please help me to." If we're not very careful about what we're praying, if we're not making sure that we are constantly seeking God as the center of our lives, it's all too easy for our prayers to become, "Not to you, Lord, not to you, but to my name be the glory." With everything that we pray, we need to ask, if this prayer is answered, who will receive the glory? If what we pray for comes about, will it result in our success, our reputation, and us looking good? Or will it result in God's glory and God's will being accomplished? And this is also true about what we have already received. It's so easy to say that we are so blessed living here, which we are. But what are we doing with those blessings? God has given us so much. Are we using it to seek self, or are we using it to seek God? Does the way you spend your money and your time reflect your will or God's will? If we have full health, are we just sitting around and enjoying it for our happiness, or are we using this gift from God to serve him better? If our prayers and priorities are occupied with glorifying ourselves, then we can never hope to glorify God. We must die to self. Because when we continue seeking self, we are exchanging the glory of God for something that is worthless. Let's look at Romans 1, 21 through 23. This is Paul talking about the Gentiles in the world. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. Rather than glorifying God, they exchanged his glory for idols, for self, for their own glory, for worthlessness. 1 Peter 1:24, 25 says, "All people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever." Seeking our own glory is pointless, because any glory that we can give to ourselves is meaningless and completely in vain. It doesn't last. Just like the flowers of the field, it falls away into nothingness. We must, therefore, ask ourselves, who is at the center of our lives? Are you living for yourself and your desires, or for God and his will? With every prayer that you make, every thought that you think, ask yourself, who is going to be glorified? Unless we die to self, we will never fulfill our purpose of glorifying God. Once our priorities are right and God's glory is central in our lives, what can we do on a daily basis to give God glory? One way is by bearing fruit for God, working to advance his kingdom. John 15, verse 8, Jesus talking to his disciples says, "This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Jesus says that by bearing fruit, not only do we show ourselves to be his disciples, but we give glory to the Father. In fact, in verse 16 of the same chapter, Jesus says that we were chosen to bear fruit. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." When we obey God, when we serve him in our lives and work to further his kingdom, we are bringing glory to his name. It makes sense, because if giving glory to God is helping others to recognize and realize the glory that he has, and if we are working on this earth to reveal him to other people, then they will come to see his glory. On the other hand, if we are not bearing fruit, how will anyone notice and give glory to God? This is why Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." By bearing fruit for God and doing his work, we are letting our light shine before others, and this gives glory to our Father in heaven. In fact, Jesus himself brought glory to the Father by bearing fruit and doing his will. John 17:4, "I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do." So the first thing that we can do every day to bring God glory is to serve him and bear fruit. What exactly does bearing fruit look like? Obeying God's commands, loving others as yourselves, forgiving others, sharing the gospel, growing personally, being generous, and serving other people. In essence, doing the work that God has set for us to do on this earth. By doing this, we can bring him glory. Another way that we can give glory to God is by having a firm faith in him and trusting his promises. Paul says in Romans 4:20 and 21, talking about Abraham, "Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised." If we don't believe God, how can others see God's greatness through what we are doing? In fact, if we don't believe, then we ourselves aren't seeing God's greatness fully. If we realize who God is and we firmly believe it, we don't have any reason to doubt. Of course, we are sinful humans who will always have some doubts in their hearts. But we must try, by the help of the Holy Spirit, to trust God despite our doubts. as the man in Mark 9:24 said, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." It's so important that we believe and have faith in God's promises. Louis Giglio, the pastor of Passion City Church, said, "Nothing steals God's glory more than worrying believers who are driven through life by fear." Doubt is something that we can't tackle on our own, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can. Pray that God would help us to have a deeper faith in him, free from doubts, so that others can see God's greatness and give him glory. Besides this, according to 1 Corinthians 10:31, we are to do everything to the glory of God, even eating and drinking. How can we eat and drink to the glory of God? Well, Paul says that by giving thanks to God for what we are eating and drinking, we give him glory. Now, since we are recognizing what God has done for us, and we're recognizing our dependence on him, surely in every situation in life, we can recognize God's greatness and give him glory. So let us do everything to God's glory, from bearing fruit, to trusting in God, to eating and drinking. Just as the psalmist prayed, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness." So we also echo his prayer today, praying that our world would come to see the glory of God, that the contempt and hatred for God would be gone, just as the psalmist did. While we do not know God's immediate plan for the future, we do know that in the end, all nations will come to recognize his glory. Revelation 15:4, "Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed." As we strive through the Holy Spirit to give glory to God by realizing its importance, by making God the center of our lives, and by bearing fruit and trusting in God, we can trust that eventually God will give all glory to his name. Even today, as we come to greater and greater understandings of God's glory, we ourselves are being transformed into his image, the image of Christ our Savior. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Are you living for self? Are you seeking your own glory, something that is meaningless and won't last? Please, I encourage you to accept Christ as the center of your life. Accept his grace and seek his glory, allowing him to transform you into his glorious image.